Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Marriott goes after Airbnb. And in other news, Airbnb goes after Marriott. Plus, a major Northern California entertainment venue adopts a new security policy that will impact its guests and is absolutely a future part of attending public events.
Speaking of being a smarter traveler at 320, we talk about the basics of hotel safety. Road warriors or occasional traveler, stay tuned. You might learn a tidbit which will make you a safer traveler on the road.
Speaking of smarter travelers, Gwen Duncan is right here live in this very studio to tell you the do's and don'ts of travel to Japan. 3:35 is the time for our Asian adventure.
Beach Blanket Babylon is a long-standing San Francisco tradition, and you may have heard it, maybe you've seen it, and maybe you've heard that it's closing December 31st. Well, we caught up with one of the cast members, and at 3:45, we talked to her about the end of a San Francisco tradition.
It's one of those spectacular spring weekends in Sacramento. Thank you for including us. Even if you're listening from far away, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
All I want in heaven, man.
I come from a land on a love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Here we go. It's another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you here every Sunday, 3 to 4. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Hope everything is going well with you. By the way, you can follow along with most of the stuff, practically all of it for that matter, at TravelGuysRadio.com. What?
What? Which one of these is mine?
The one that you put on the microphone. So okay. Let me see that one.
This one here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can that one.
This one, okay.
Yeah, because if you look inside, you can see it's
the,
got.
Radio being mind. Theater of the mind. For those of you listening at home, we're talking about the windscreen, which is something that you put over the microphone. And so I didn't know if we'd put mine over or we still had the contaminated one from the weekdays on.
You know,
here.
And then the interesting thing about, and this is something
they probably
that was
feel the same way about the weekends, by the way.
Well, this was a recommendation from the management here, and for good reason, back when there was a lot of illness going around to protect each other and yourself from contracting somebody else's cold. You got these little foam rubber screen socks that you put over the microphone, and if you use one and you bring yours with you, then you're kind of working with your own germs. But as Mark pointed out, they all look the same. In fact, sitting in front of me literally are four on the counter. And there's no place that you can write on them.
Parts of radio you will never hear on any other program and probably didn't care about,
yeah.
But right here on
how
the Travel
that,
Guys.
How much did that just cost you?
I don't even... Talking about
all right, we're here
screens.
To make you a smarter traveler and tease you with some crazy radio stuff. Mark, let's see. Been a while since I've seen you face-to-face. You've been a busy traveler
has
yourself.
Been. Went to New York City. Monday night at Carnegie Hall, we saw the coolest thing. That we go to an event the New York Pops puts on every year. It's their birthday concert, and they always honor someone from Broadway. They honor a couple people, usually a behind-the-scenes person and a front-of-the-house person. Cyndi Lauper was their front-of-the-house person this
great.
Time. And this is the New York Pops Orchestra, and having Cyndi Lauper's music put to orchestration in the most magnificent hall in the country, Carnegie Hall,
mm-hmm.
was absolutely a whole new dimension of her stuff.
What one of her tunes that they did jumps out at you?
Oh, they did all the big ones. Boy George, a rather strange character from the Pops past, was there, did one of the songs. Cyndi actually performed herself. They had Broadway stars there doing songs, of course, from Kinky Boots. She wrote all of that music. And it was just, she was, of course, she was there herself and Full House. It was, if you ever get a chance to go, they have the show once a year. Sports Leisure Vacations takes a trip to New York City that includes that every single year because it's such a wonderful show, and it's easy to get good seats, and the seats are reasonably priced anyway. We had a tremendous amount of fun. Some of the folks in our group, we have a Behind Broadway Day where people meet folks who work on Broadway. It might be somebody who does the lights. It might be somebody who's the first violinist. It might be the lead actor from the stage. You never really know who we're going to get. They got a supporting actor from Kiss Me, Kate, and old show that's being redone on Broadway. And so he told the folks who were going to see it, some of the folks in the groups were going the next night to see it. He said, meet me at the stage door after the show. So seven or eight of them went, and you know, it's 10:30 at night, and they went, and he took them on a backstage tour.
Oh, how cool was that?
The show had just completed. So you know, you never know what you're gonna if you get into enough situations. If you travel with a company that puts you in situations where good things can happen, why then once in a while you just get lucky. So those folks had a wonderful time. I love New York City. It's a great place to. Everything happens there, good, bad, and otherwise.
At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we do our best to bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. So with that being said, Mark, you got a stack of good stuff for us.
Well, I do here. As I mentioned in the headlines, these announcements came only a couple of days apart this week. In fact, now when I look at the headlines, they were a day apart. Marriott has decided to go after Air... Wait a minute, let's do something here just for fun. Duncan's in the studio with us. You can say Marriott or Marriott. How do you pronounce the?
I do the Marriott thing.
You do the Marriott, and you say Marriott too. Marriott. Marriott. See, I say Marriott a lot of the times. It's supposed to rhyme with chariot.
So it should be Marriott.
So it should be Marriott. Well, so we're all we all say it wrong.
Really?
Yeah. Who knew?
Oh,
see,
Marriott.
Even travel professionals like you can learn something here on the Travel Guys. Okay, so Marriott goes after Airbnb. They are going to start their own home rental business. They're going to be rolling it out. They already operate some similar businesses in several European cities that they bought into. They're going to roll it out here in the States in the next few months, and you will be able to use your Marriott points. And so this will bring a level of, I don't know how
so
this is all going to work.
A different category that you'll find on their website.
Yes.
That you can go ahead and book what would be an Airbnb rather than one room in a massive 500-room hotel.
And the next day, the Airbnb people announce that they're going into the hotel business.
Seriously.
And so, yeah, absolutely serious. They are going to open some kind of glorified hostel Airbnb to collaborate on New York City hotel. Airbnb is partnering with a major New York real estate developer to convert portions of New York City commercial properties into a new category of urban lodging. They are essentially hotel rooms that can only be booked through the Airbnb platform. So Airbnb is... New York is Airbnb's largest market in the United States. Doesn't necessarily mean it will go public this year, but certainly sometime next year. So I guess they would be apartment type. There's not a lot of details here, but I wondered why it took both of these guys so long, because they both have very lucrative businesses, and they're both. But dare I say, beware the person who is really good at something and says, oh, here's some low-hanging fruit over here. We grow apples, but we could grow oranges just as easily.
And they
find out that, you know, growing oranges is a whole different business than growing apples, and it wasn't all that easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I it'll be interesting. But anyway, they're going after each other's business. Holland America Line has launched a mobile app. Gwen, you should be happy to hear this.
Yeah.
You are a cruise person. Do any of the lines that you're on have an app, an onboard app?
Actually, all of them have.
All of them have?
Yeah.
So Holland America is last here.
Well, I wouldn't say this last. Maybe they've improved it. But
a free app for mobile phones and tablets that utilize its popular browser-based navigator tool. You can use it to plan daily activities, book shore excursions, view restaurants, make dining reservations, spa treatments. Everybody has this now?
Yeah.
I'm just behind the times.
No, no.
Never mind. It's always nice to have Gwen here.
Yeah, just
or not. National Tourism Week is next week. Tom and Gwen, 2 days away. Celebrate why travel matters. Where is it here? In 2018, travel supported 15.8 million American jobs. That's 1 in 10 people in the United States work in a travel-related job.
Wow.
So you're welcome.
Surprising.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We talked about people changing and floating their award charts and how there really are no rules when it comes to points and stuff. You know, this is what happens when your credit card or your hotel or something says, wow, we're going to give you quintuple points. We're 10 times the 50, 500 times. And the next thing you know is a devaluation is coming soon. Mm-hmm. Because when hyperinflation hits your award chart, mm-hmm. then you know they're giving away all these extra points. And now I was in a Marriott hotel. And
you're going to be correcting yourself
In Providence, Rhode Island, a couple of weeks ago. And the guy told me I have 260 rooms. The other night I had 170 Premier Marriott members. So top level, there's two different names for them now, but the top level Marriott people, he had 2/3 of the people in his hotel were of that top level. He says, I can't fit that many people in my concierge lounge. I don't have that many upgraded rooms. This is one of the results of the Marriott Sheraton merger is that now you have twice as many people in some cases going after the same amount of inventory. If there was a Sheraton and a Marriott next to each other, you're fine. But if there's only a Marriott in town, now the Sheraton people are all pursuing that Marriott also. And so what that tells you is if you're a top tier Marriott person, there's going to be another tier soon. That's my prediction, is that because they're going to have to call people out somehow. So they will. Yeah. That's the way they will do it. They will create. So Hawaiian Airlines is the latest airline to get rid of their award chart, and so now and what they do is United did the same thing. Let's say the minimum award used to be 10,000 miles. So they say, oh, great news! We're going to have awards for 7,500 miles. That's a 25% reduction off of our old rate. But when you go online, you find that those are only in very selected places. And everywhere else, the awards cost more than what they used to cost. So, and now it's basically, they should have done this a long time ago. They're basically going to float the chart. So when it gets close to holidays and stuff like that, or they've got a flight or a day or a week that's particularly popular, it's going to cost you a lot more to use your points and miles.
Yield management.
And what it means is that you're never going to know, Mr. Tom Romano guy on the street, how much your points will buy you. Mm-hmm. Until you actually go to use them. You think, well, I got to get 200,000 miles to get these two tickets to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And then you get it and you log on and you see that on the days you want to go, it's 280,000 and now you're screwed.
There you go. Or you have to sing for your rewards.
Yeah, sing for your supper, so to speak. Okay, one more thing here. Listen, let's do this as part of the Smarter Traveler segment. Let's just tease this for a minute and do our break and come back. This is really important. The SAP Arena in San Jose has announced a change in its bag policy, something that's happening all over the country. And I think that you're going to see it in every arena, every public venue very soon. Let's talk about that when we come back next here on the Travel Guys.
Welcome back. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, along with Gwen Duncan joining us today, a special guest, our travel advisor. Look, I want to take a moment before we get to your subject at hand, Mark. We've mentioned this over the last couple of weeks. We're going to do a little panel discussion with Uber Lyft drivers as special guests on the show. We rounded up a couple, and we still need at least one more. If you drive for a ride-sharing company, or perhaps you drive for two, and would like to be a guest on the show with us, give the station a call now at 916-921-1530. Luisa is standing by. 916-921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. Or if you want, you can go to, if you can't, don't have a phone handy, go to travelguysradio.com. You can leave your contact information there and on our question form on that page, and we'll get back to you. We want to create a panel of three drivers to talk live on a future show about ride sharing and perhaps tell us some things that would make our listeners, that be you, smarter travelers and ride sharers.
And we have a couple of drivers already. Actually, we have three who have called in the last couple of weeks. So we're looking to get plenty because everybody's not available at the same date and time and stuff. But we're going to line this up in the next week or two so that those of us who hire ride shares can be smarter. And the people who come and pick us up can know more about how to serve us better and all that kind of jazz. What's that, Ms. Duncan?
You use them?
Do I use them? Yes, I do. I use Lyft because for a while, the guy who was running Uber was kind of a clown and he was doing things that were not, I just didn't consider to be the kind of public behavior that a CEO, a way a CEO should conduct himself. So, and when you talk to the drivers, I found that the Lyft drivers were a little happier than Uber drivers. So I just thought, well, I'll patronize the company. But, you know, if Lyft is 20 minutes away and Uber is six, why then my decision is made for me.
Yeah.
They're both, you know, they're both. You use them?
I've used Lyft. I have used that out of New York.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
There's some. There are.
It works better when you turn.
Yeah,
it on.
I know. There are some towns that taking a cab or certainly not renting a car is premium. And New York City, I'm guessing, would be one of those.
It's becoming New York is becoming the Uber and the Lyft drivers are becoming a problem because, in fact, Uber and Lyft both announced the other day that they're not taking any more new drivers in New York City. There are so many cars on the street there, it's becoming a traffic problem because you've got these people who are floating. You know, they're between rides and stuff like that, and they're floating. There's nowhere to park in Manhattan. So you've got it. So you've just got it. Buses do this because there's no place to park the bus. So the bus, he drives around for 45 minutes. It's not good for pollution. It's not good for traffic, et cetera, et cetera. But you can't convince the parking people that you need places to put the buses. So it's the same deal.
We'll talk to our Uber Lyft drivers and their opinion on that. Vegas, I would never rent a car. And I use Uber or Lyft all the time. All right. On to right before the break, Mark, you were saying?
Okay. At the SAP Arena in San Jose,
right.
They have made a change. They sent out something, and one of our Travel Guys listeners actually forwarded this to me. I got my own copy in my mailbox when I got home, but I saw it first. Actually, two of our Travel Guys listeners sent it to me. They are starting a clear bag policy at the SAP Arena. So, ladies, if you have a handbag or you have a small backpack or a briefcase or no matter what it might be, if it's not clear, you cannot take it inside. So, what'd you say? You can talk.
Yes, yeah, smart.
Yeah. Well, it seems like incredibly obvious.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Should have happened probably a long time ago. It is already happened at some arenas, but they have just started it there. They're going to have a bag check where for $5, if your bag doesn't meet the requirements, that you can check your bag. And then, you know, it's kind of a hassle because you're going to have to check it. And then after the show's over, you're going to have to pick it up. And you're probably not going to be the only person in line. And
wow, the sale of cute, very effective clear bags is going to skyrocket.
It's going to skyrocket.
You know, I mean, everybody goes to events these days. And, you know, ladies, you got the guy with the stick digging in your purse, poking around, see if you got something you're not supposed to have. They don't want to touch anything, you know. So
no, yeah, you're right.
Poke around in there. And if you want to expedite things, if you could just take a quick glance and on you go. And
besides, when they're doing that poking around, they're really not seeing.
No, they're not
much.
A lot of times they're just going through. Some are very diligent and others are just going through the motions.
Well, is that going to affect the plastic bag?
You talk into the microphone, sweetheart.
How's that going to affect the plastic bag laws here in California?
Well, that's a good point because you could use a Ziploc. They're explaining here that certain size Ziploc bags are okay if you don't have.
Would that be an over-the-shoulder Ziploc?
Yeah, you see a guy with a string. He's put a piece of string through the Ziploc, and he's kind of, you know, to be fashionable going in. We're making fun of this because it's you know, that's what we do here. But the reality is, the arena was very good. They sent out this thing here. I'll hold it up, show and tell, because I only have one copy. But they showed examples of what is no good and what is good, and they have specific sizes. No bags larger than 12 by 6 by 12. So a lot of the stuff that you used to bring in, yeah, a lot of the bags and the tote bags and things like
that's still plenty of space.
It is. You're going to an event for 3 hours. What do you really need with you, you know, I mean, your clutch purse with your credit card, or, you know, I don't know. I like to have a clutch purse that matches my outfit personally. But I can't speak for Tom, but if you had a tote bag, you know, a small tote bag, 12 by 12, that was clear plastic so they can see through it. That seems like common sense. And it seems so common sense. When I mentioned it to somebody yesterday, they said, oh, yeah, lots of arenas are already doing this. And I'm like, oh, I haven't been to one yet.
I could see, then I'll give this to the Kings. They can have this idea. They owe me nothing. But they start selling clear bags for the ladies, particularly to take to the games with the team logo on it, you know, and the rest of it is clear, and you can buy it right there at the arena. If you don't have it now, you can have it on the next game.
Or you send it to all of your season ticket holders when they renew. Or here's another idea. You give one away to everybody who attends the first night.
There you go.
Of
first
the season.
5,000 get one.
Well, or the first everybody gets one.
Yeah.
And then after that, you sell them. And I mean, I have to tell you that at Sports Leisure Vacations, we were huddled together yesterday saying, okay, we've already contacted our specialty advertising person and said, okay, how quickly can we get these? Because I really believe that ballparks and stuff will go to this very quickly.
Mm-hmm. They can have a little Sports Leisure Vacation logo.
Well,
on
I want to, yeah.
Little,
I mean, if people are going to use them all the time,
that'd be great.
Well, absolutely.
Well, you know, also, we've pretty much taken care of the Smarter Traveler segment here.
Well, and the point of all of this is that if you go to the arena and you don't have one of these bags and you're not willing to check your bag, you're not going inside. Period.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's the new standard is that the bag has to be smaller and it has to be see-through. Now, if you're saying, well, but I've got the small infant and I'm, you know, I'm first of all, I'd say, why are you bringing the infant to something like this? But nonetheless, if that's what you're doing and you've got to bring some extra accoutrements or something, then they've got to fit into these bags. And you're going to have to go out and spend a few dollars. Heaven forbid people spend hundreds of dollars on tickets to these events.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be impacted. We have a Hugh Jackman concert there in July. And in fact, that's why we were huddled yesterday, was we were like, is it possible we can get these with our names on them before this concert so our people can use them?
That'd
so we
great,
can look
yeah.
like we're on the ball. But anyway, if you're going to the SAP Arena in San Jose for a Sharks playoff game or a concert or something like that in the near future, these are the new rules. And I think if you see the opportunity to buy a clear bag that fits the 12 by 12 by 6 rule, and it's $3 or $4, you might want to pick one up because it's going to be the standard all over the place very soon.
Do you know that whether the SAP stadium, just like now the Golden One, you have to have you got to put your you got to put your tickets on your app. There are no paper tickets. You don't print a ticket and go. You you have it on your phone,
uh-huh.
and you have it scanned when you walk through. So if you're...
So what if you don't have a phone?
Then
you're not going.
You better go with somebody who has one.
Who has one. Okay. All right. I guess that works. After the break, Ms. Gwen Duncan, she's the one who just went over there on the other side. From Cordially Yours Travel, we shipped her off to Japan. She made her way back home. Through some kind of homing device or breadcrumbs that she had left. And I think her husband brought her back. And she's going to tell us a little bit about that trip. She's got some do's and some don'ts and some yeses and some no's. And then we're going to talk about Beach Blanket Babylon. All that in the second half of the program with the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Does that mean it's our turn? You're playing Viva Las Vegas?
Would you get the radio show for a minute here? I'm watching the baseball game.
Mark was distracted. He was watching the Giants go ahead. Oops, did
Doesn't
I? Was
happen.
I? Maybe
spoiler
that was,
alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Sorry.
Well, the Giants go ahead. That doesn't happen very often. So right there, three people just drove off the road.
All right. The Travel and Entertainment Guys is what you tuned to here on KFBK. Mark and Tom with you. Again, travelguysradio.com. Links to all the cool stuff and pictures from our Gwen Duncan. We got some cool stuff there.
Who informed us when she came in today that she was wearing clothes.
Oh. There you go. let's not get into that.
No, let's really.
The audience will be confused. So, Gwen, you want to first of all tell our listeners where you've been and how long you were there for.
Okay. What I did was I took a canard cruise that circumvented Japan. Most of our ports were made
in
calls.
Does that mean it went around the country?
Yeah, it went totally
okay.
around
just,
that.
Just checking.
And it was
big words
maiden
confuse
voyages.
Me.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, maiden port calls. And so it wasn't like the Osakas and the Kyotos and the Hiroshima and all those things. It was a really kind of, little known
a
places.
A little off the beaten path
right,
kind of thing,
right.
a first-timer thing.
Right. And one of the stops was in South Korea. So, mm-hmm. But what motivated Ron and I to want to go is that we wanted to see the cherry blossoms, and I didn't care which part of Japan I went,
mm-hmm.
but to be able to circumvent the island, I thought that was pretty cool. And so that's what we did for 9 days. We went down 2 days.
Is that legal, circumventing? I'm just want to
make
sure.
Yeah. We left and got there 2 days earlier.
Only if you're a doctor.
Yeah. And took off from Yokohama, and it was wonderful, wonderful.
I did do, let's see, there it is. There's Gwen with the cherry blossoms right there in the homepage.
Yeah.
Of the...
If you go to travelguysradio.com,
there
you can see pictures of things that Gwen did, including some of the stuff she ate. It's kind of an Anthony Bourdain sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
What did you say? Something was still... That you said they poured teriyaki on the squid and it was dead and then it started moving?
One of our stops, you could fish for squid. So my husband fished for squid. And then they go through and then they chop it up. They take the head and all that off. Then they go and they slice it really, really thin.
Uh-huh.
So my husband's sitting there with this plate of that and he puts some teriyaki sauce on it and it starts moving. The head's gone. Everything's gone. It starts moving.
I don't eat things that are already dead that move.
I had to pick up a paper and I couldn't watch it.
You weren't pre-warned there. I'm guessing there was some sort of a chemical reaction
between the soy sauce. Do they wiggle around inside of you? Is that?
I don't know, but it was just terrible.
it's just the nerves after things.
I always thought her husband was a fairly normal guy, but now when I think about it, he's been married to Gwen for a lot of years, so he might not be that.
Well, in that part of the world, this is standard. This is what they do. They're very comfortable with that.
I'll never forget the time that the guy in Hawaii, the bus driver, said we were talking about taro and poi and how bad that is over there and stuff. And he says, well, you people on the mainland, he says, you got something you eat over there too. That's not all that. That's kind of strange. And we were all like, what could that be? And he goes, cottage cheese. I mean, think about it. It's already spoiled and it's in chunks and we covet it and eat it. So, I mean,
everybody's
spoiled.
Different.
Every culture, well, it's curdled milk.
Or, I know. But one other thing that we experienced there was the parks, and they're like walking through giant bonsai.
Uh-huh.
It was just beautiful. And then, of course, we like trying the culinary stuff. And then we went into South Korea. We'd had one of our stops in South Korea.
Uh-huh.
And so that was really kind of fun. Now, we stayed at
Let me ask you something. How was South... As someone who's never been... So this is an innocent but probably stupid-sounding question. What makes Korea and Japan different? They're fairly close to each other. They're both island nations or peninsula and an island nation.
Yeah.
So is there...
Well, they both rely a lot on fish. So they have fish markets and everything all over the place. But I felt that Busan was where we went. It seemed really vibrant, and there was a lot of music and everything playing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a lot of that in Japan. It was a lot more formal, I think. Japan was a lot more formal.
How about interaction with the people from the two different countries?
I don't care. Both of them, the people were wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to communicate with us. They tried really hard to communicate with us. Some of them, the schools came out at the ports and wanted to practice English.
What would you tell someone who's going to one of these Asian countries, Korea or Japan specifically, if your eyes lit up when you said, oh, the people are really nice. They really try to communicate.
Yeah.
What could someone who is from here, who's traveling there, what could they do to enhance those opportunities?
Okay. Now for Ron and I, we like to kind of immerse ourselves into the culture, not just go there to looky-loo and take pictures. And so we chose to stay at a ryokan. It's a Japanese hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the experience the way that they travel. Well, these are mattresses on the floor, the walls, the ceilings, everything was black. They had mats for carpets. And everything, by the way, heated seats on the toilets. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. Every place, even the McDonald's had heated seats on the toilets.
Obviously made an impression on her.
Yeah, it made an impression. Yeah, I found out I was sitting on them wrong.
Her fanny,
I mean?
Was, her fanny was warm all the time. This is why she just put clothing back on just recently.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. But the thing is, for me,
Tom's trying to...
He's trying to figure this out.
Well,
I think what started that is... I like to wake up in the morning, and before I get out of bed, I want to look around and know what country I'm in. Okay. I don't want to have to go and look out the window to figure it out.
Okay.
And you could do that at doing a Roya can. They give you
If you don't drink a lot, sometimes when you get up in the morning, you'll know what country you're in.
They give special jams.
You were looking for what all the millennials and the younger folks are looking for, experiential.
That's probably true, but I'm far from a millennial.
You want to experience.
I'm a tad older than a millennial, but you're right.
You want to experience the culture,
You got to experience the culture. Try their foods. I kept with the pork and the chicken because I don't like fish. If you can believe that. And
she went to Japan and Korea. She doesn't like fish.
Yeah.
One thing I would not do. My wife would be that way. Yeah.
One thing I would not do.
Yes.
Is they've got a thing called onsens there, and that's a spa. They're a communal spas. They require that you're naked in there.
See, I knew this was going to come back
you knew
to
that
clothing
was coming.
At some point.
They don't allow you to go in them if you have tattoos and stuff. And I mean, they're really, really strict, but that's something that's part of their culture. I chose not to participate in that.
Ron, your husband?
You said your husband?
He's done that before in Germany, but he didn't do it this time.
I see. Okay.
Okay, so you wouldn't recommend...
They have standards, is what you're saying.
Yes,
and you didn't meet them.
And why wouldn't you recommend it? I mean, it's not for you.
I'm too modest for that. I don't think I would do it either. I'm just too modest for those that maybe aren't as modest,
is there any other reason? I mean, why they... Is it something that...
No, there are a lot of hot springs there. That's the reason they're so popular, because of the volcanic hot springs.
You had a tip in here.
Okay.
That's for people. You said, let's see, where was your tip here? Go with the flow. Use debit cards. Prepare for the long flight there and plan a couple of days early to arrive. We tell people that a lot.
Yes.
You know, is plan if you're taking a cruise, a guided tour, whatever. Give yourself that extra day just to get acclimated to the time zone. Try a little thing.
Yeah, because jet lag's a big deal.
Yeah, and plus, what if your plane doesn't go on time? You know, and now
that's true.
$5,000 cruise, or in your case, the one that you paid $49.50 for.
Yeah, that's true. no, I'm kidding.
So. Okay, let's see here. You try the bullet train to get there, hotel record. What I didn't expect. Actually, it was remarkable, blah, 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 blah. Didn't like fish and things you would do differently. Probably worn a surgical mask at the airports and on the plane.
Yes. When we got into San Francisco to get ready to take off, we noticed and there were an awful lot of Japanese on their way to Japan, obviously. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them had those surgical masks. I've seen that before in large crowds. But when we got to Japan, you even saw more and more. When we were on the ship, it had like 1,100 people, 120 U.S., 120 Australian. Everybody else was Japanese, and they were walking around with surgical masks on the ship. And so I just kept blowing it off. But on the way home, I'm thinking, I wish I would have done that in the plane, because I started feeling ill. And I really think that you're in an enclosed area.
Right. You hear again, a lot of people, when they see people with masks, they think one of two things. Either they have something that they're trying to protect you from, or they're trying to protect themselves. And your guess is that most everybody was protecting themselves from contracting an illness while on vacation. I mean, it can be a nuisance, especially when you're trying to drink a margarita, you know, or whatever.
This would be true. All in all, though, I've got to tell you, Asia is fascinating. Japan was wonderful. The food was great. And I'm anxious to go back and do a land-based trip where I can go to some of the common places, see the Buddhas and the temples
and stuff. You see, but this is, we tell folks this often, and I've said this a lot of times over the years, and I think you've espoused this too, Gwen, is that a cruise is a wonderful way to introduce yourself to a destination, because now you've been there. You have now decided that, yes, this is someplace I'd like to go back to. You now have a few personal favorites you'd like to return to, and so you sort of have a plan.
You know, it's a game plan.
And when you put that all, I mean, obviously you're in the travel business and stuff, so it makes it easier. But I think a lot of people follow the same type of thing. We should tell folks who are listening to all of our craziness here is that Gwen has provided us with a number of website links and some pictures of some of the crazy foods and some of the things, places that she went and stuff. They're all at travelguysradio.com. So if you're thinking of a trip to Japan or Korea, or you just are curious about some of the things that we've been talking with Gwen about, travelguysradio.com, you'll find a really nice list there. So, Gwen, thank you for providing all of that information, and thank you for sharing your trip with us.
Thank you for asking me. Can I make one more comment? Is that you don't need a visa to go to Japan. A lot of people are a little surprised by that. You need one to go to China. You don't need one for Japan if you're going to stay under 60, 90 days.
How interesting.
All right, just your passport.
No shots either.
Wow.
Oh, that there now, there's a plus. Thank you, Gwen, and thank you for putting up with our somewhat rude humor from time to time. All right, we're the Travel Guys Beach Blanket Babylon interview coming up next. And if we got a couple of spare minutes, some basics of hotel safety. It's all next here on the Travel Guys.
All the leaves are brown.
It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we're going to put on our entertainment hat.
Yep.
Now, this is going to be an interview that's very dear to Mark's heart because he and his Sports Leisure Vacation travelers have been going to this show for 30-plus years. Mark, tell us who our super special guest is and why we have them on the radio.
It's super appropriate that you just said put on his hat because this show is known for their hats, of all things. Our guest is Tammy Nelson. Tammy is a 25-year veteran performer at Beach Blanket Babylon, and she is joining us here on the Travel Guys. Tammy, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Mark and Tom. I appreciate the invite.
So you have dedicated what most people would consider a career, 25 years, a quarter of a century, to this show, and now it's not going to be a part of your life in come January 1st. How did you feel when you heard that Beach Blanket Babylon was going away?
Well, the first word comes to my mind is devastated, and I still feel in that devastated space. You know, the expectations I had for Beach Blanket were far beyond our 45th anniversary year.
I have to ask the question that the average person listening has got to be going through their heads, and that is, why is it going away?
Producer Joe Schumann Silver, wife to late Steve Silver, has been doing an amazing job since he passed, and she has just picked up and carried on, I think maybe even beyond Steve Silver's own expectations. I mean, this started off on the street as a street performance, as a lark, you know, and here it is 45 years later, an institution in San Francisco, a destination to be experienced when you do visit San Francisco. It just did not seem to me like it would go away. Ever.
And now the reality is that it looks like it may end after a 45-year run. And, you know, Tammy, I've told folks, anybody who would listen over the last couple of weeks since this news came out, that more so than anything I can think of in any single city, maybe the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville might be the best example I can think of this, of an entertainment piece that really truly represents the feeling of the city that is its home. I mean, Beach Blanket Babylon is a statement about San Francisco in so many ways and has been for so many years. And folks who go to the show on a regular basis will tell me it's never the same twice in a row.
No, it's never the same on many levels because of the audience, certainly. You know, that's constantly changing, and they constantly will affect and bring out even more from what we are doing all at the time. Then there is the fact that the news affects our show immediately. You know, the team of people working on the material will see, you know, something in the news and will put it in the show as soon as possible.
Tammy, can I ask you, over the years, there must have been some really crazy, goofy things that have happened. You've been there for 2.5 decades. Is there anything that jumps out at you if somebody said, what's the craziest thing that's ever happened in that crazy show, Beach Blanket Babylon?
you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, so those that have not seen the show is about outrageous comedy, outrageous cast, and outrageous costumes, and big. And one of the outfits and one of the characters I have is a cowgirl, and she has this big, huge hairstyle on her head, and with a little teeny weeny little Stetson on it. Well, I come out with a whip at one on the entrance, and this particular day, I take the whip down, I whip it onto the floor, I whip it back up, it wraps around the Stetson, I throw the wig, the whip down to do another wig, and there goes the wig. Flying off my head, tumbling, rolling over to the band. I mean, and so what happened? I had a microphone in my hand. I dropped off the wig from Snow White to my left, go over, continue my line, stick up the wig, hand her the microphone when I get to her, continue singing, put the wig on my head, grab the microphone, and continue. And the very next line I get to say is, you know, that country music, it kind of makes me want to unwind and let my hair down. And the audience lost it.
Yeah, I bet.
Absolutely lost it.
And we're losing it here in the studio. That's great.
Tammy, if you were going to tell folks, now there's probably two categories of people here. Some folks have seen the show, and I know they will want to go again. But to people who have never seen Beach Blanket Babylon, if they only have this 6-8 month mm-hmm. window to see it, what would you tell them that would encourage them to go?
It's an experience that you have to see and enjoy and take in as long as it is a part of San Francisco. And it still is viable, brilliant, and incredibly a rewarding experience. When you come to San Francisco, I'd say it's one of the top, certainly the top 10, but I'll be selfish and say the top 5 things to do when you're in San Francisco. Beach Blanket Babylon.
Tammy, I have to ask you, over the years, there have to have been a few celebrities appear in the audience. Yeah. Can you want to drop some names on me here?
absolutely. The first that come to my mind, Sidney Poitier, Sharon Stone. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Sully, the pilot who landed.
Oh, Sullenberger, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Dancing with the Stars. We've had so many people, and not to forget the royal family.
How cool!
Yeah.
And you guys are in North Beach, where it is truly one of the most vibrant parts of the city. Restaurants all around. I will tell folks who are listening, if you haven't been to Beach Blanket Babylon yet, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. We'll have a link there where you can get your own tickets and go down. Or the sponsor of this program, Sports Leisure Vacations, has a variety of trips between now and the end of the year, including some for the Christmas show, which is something not to be missed. If you've never seen the Beach Blanket Christmas show, you really need to go, and this might be your last opportunity.
I agree with that statement. Christmas show at Beach Blanket is special, special, special.
Outstanding. Tammy, for those that are going to be going, they're going to want to be able to put a face with a voice and a name. Tell us the name of your character and what people should look for. Have you always played the same character?
I have, actually. I always have the same track. The track itself has multiple characters, and those have grown. Staple characters would be the Italian lady, French woman. Some of the added characters I have on my track right now is Adele, Sarah Huckabee, Kim Jong-un.
You jump around a lot.
it sounds really like fun. Tammy, thank you for some of your time today while you're driving on the freeway in San Francisco. We really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you in the show.
Thank you so much for this, and I look forward to seeing you too.
And if you would like to go see Beach Blanket Babylon, either the regular show or the Christmas show, dare I say the underwriter of this program, Sports Leisure Vacations, has trips to go to San Francisco, includes a meal in North Beach.
If you give us a call tomorrow at 916-361-2051, the trips are not listed on the website yet, so you have to give us a call.
Okay, give them a call. All right. Let's see here. Wrapping it up, you know, Mark and I are really quite fortunate to have a little bit of a contact and relationship with the Sacramento's infamous Gary Gerald, voice of the Sacramento Kings. And Gary does a lot of traveling as a play-by-play guy.
The ultimate road warrior.
And we're going to sit down with Gary next week and record a segment that's going to help make you a smarter traveler and give you a little bit of insight of what it must be like to be a play-by-play guy that travels all over the country during a basketball season.
And he's been doing it for a long time.
Right. And then we'll let you know when that's going to air so that you can tune in for it.
We'll be here next week at 3 o'clock. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. Tom, have a great week.
Thank you, Mark. You too. Folks, stay well. See you next time.
He never has the time to turn around.